awesome. So Saturday, December 1st, we're going to meet from 1 to 4. It's going to be in the healing rooms. If you're interested in growing in healing, we would just like to invite you to come. Also, this is like a great way for you to get plugged into the healing room. So if you've been kind of like, you know, I just need opportunities to pray for healing, what does that look like? It's an opportunity for you to get in, get some teaching, and then we're also going to just share with you about kind of our DNA and our culture of joy and celebration as we just see God heal people because he's healer and he loves to do it. And so I just encourage you to come, and it's going to be a great time. And yeah, I think it's all the details. So come.
Yeah, a lot of it is confidence that the Lord wants to work through you in bringing healing. It's just this confidence and assurance. And so great training opportunity to grow in that gift. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 13, pursue love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. So as you go after love, one of the things that God wants to work through you is spiritual gifts to express that love in very real ways to people in our world. Hey, man, it's Thanksgiving, right? Thanksgiving. There's the nature about God that he's a giver. For God so loved the world that he gave, right? So part of our heart is this, that we give. We give our time, we give our love, we give our resources for a bigger purpose than just our lives. It's for the kingdom of God. So God is doing an amazing thing here in our valley, but also in this place, that God is doing an incredible thing. And so I want to encourage you, sow into that, sow into what God is doing and reap a harvest of what God is going to plant through you and through us to see this valley change for Jesus Christ. And would somebody just agree with me by saying yes and amen? Yes and amen. So Father, we love you today and we pray, Lord, there are many expressions of your kingdom in this valley. And we pray for John. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that they would be an effectual light to the valley. And that, Lord, as we join our lights together, Lord, there's this ability to see Jesus alive here in our valley. So we bless them. We pray for the Nesses, Lord, and we ask in Africa, Lord, that you would bless the light of the gospel through their lives amongst the people that you have called them to. And Lord, we give today not out of compulsion. We don't give today even out of habit. We give today, Lord, because the nature of our Father is he's a giver. And that, Lord, the nature of love is that we give. So Lord, I thank you for this family that they have a nature and a heart to love you and to love what you're doing by sowing in the kingdom of God. So we bless that. We thank you for it. And Lord, thank you that you said, as you sow, you shall also reap. So we don't give to get, but Lord, you promised that as we give unto your kingdom, you will provide everything we need. So Lord, thank you for that. You're a really good Father. And so we bless you today in Jesus' name. And would you just agree again with me by saying yes and amen. Yes and amen, the promise of God. Thank you for giving. At the end of service, we're going to receive communion. So it's going to be a great time. Thank you for your giving. And now I want to introduce to you someone you've never met before, probably.
Whoa.
This is my friend,
Thank you, Lord.
Jeff Chavez. Can you bless Pastor Jesse to come to?
Thank you, Lord. How are we doing this morning? Yeah, amen. We're just going to spend a little bit of time in the Word, and then we're going to get off to lunch, and I'm looking forward to that. I love the fellowship. I love the connection. I do realize that some of you were not here last Sunday, and so just Pastor Mike and I just want to just kind of continue to reiterate some things over the coming weeks. But last Sunday morning and last Sunday night, we made an announcement that we are asking that in 2019, you would join us and our leadership team about praying through and walking through the dynamic of change. And that's removing the label Valley Christian Center and Hope Chapel and discovering what God wants to do in oneness, that we would begin to pursue that our togetherness of Sunday night and Sunday morning, Hope Chapel and Valley Christian Center would begin to dissolve and become, we are with one another. And Pastor Mike has been in this series of distinguishing the difference between what it means to be together, but what it means to be with and under the umbrella of agreement. And I realized that in the context of hearing that news of addressing change and recognizing change, there might be this hesitation to be thankful. And so thinking of that context, I'm just going to drop this message in there and share with you the power of thanksgiving. The power of recognizing that even in the midst of uncertainty, even in the midst of, I'm not sure what this means for us, even in the midst of me looking at my past and looking at what God's called us to plant and God's called us to do and God's been able to do through the banner of Hope Chapel, there is still a place of praise and thanksgiving. And let me say it this way. There's still a place of thanksgiving and praise, and I'm working on getting those words correct, because I'm going to share a little bit about how there's a difference in those words. But this morning, what I want to just pray for you as we get started is that give thanks in everything. I sit down and I meet with people, and I tell them, let's just start by thanking God. Well, how do you thank God when things are just so bad? And that's because we don't understand the power of thanksgiving. And the word commands us, Paul here in Thessalonians, as we'll look in a moment, is saying to us, hey, listen, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the challenge, no matter what the issue, known or unknown, there is still a place of thanksgiving. So can we just bow our hearts and just begin to just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you want to do. Thank you, Lord, that even right now, Holy Spirit, that there would be this release of a spirit of thanksgiving, that we would be reminded of how good you are, of what you've been faithful to do, of what you've been working in my life, of what you want to continue to accomplish, because the good work you've begun, you'll be faithful to complete. And so I'm just going to be silent for a moment, but let's just fill this room with thanksgiving as we've been doing in worship. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, thanks can come out of your mouth. It can come out of your hands. It can come with raised hands. It can come with eyes wide open. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just let a spirit of thanksgiving rise up. Come on, in everything, give thanks. Come on, thank him right now. Thank him for whatever place you're at, whatever trial is before you. Find that place in Jesus where thanksgiving can begin to be the weapon of the weapon of warfare, the weapon to challenge, the weapon to contend. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, there isn't a great anointing on this. There doesn't need to be, because thanksgiving is something that brings and ushers in the anointing. Thanksgiving begins to recognize who you are and what you've been called to do and how God loves you and what he's done for you. And all of a sudden you'll recognize in the spirit of thanksgiving, the anointing will be there. The prophetic word will be there. The ability to accept change will be there. The ability to see light where there's just darkness will be there. Come on, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. How many of you feel better? Come on, thanksgiving changes the attitude and culture and condition of our being. And then once we get it changed inside of us and changed, you know, working in us, all of a sudden it begins to affect things around us. One of the things I've had to learn over the years is that my wife is an amazing, grateful attitude of gratitude person. And what I've had to learn is that pride loves to stand against that and just go, no, I refuse to be thankful right now. I don't know how you get that good attitude. I don't know why you're smiling. I don't know where that positivity comes from, but I'm just going to sulk and be miserable because it feels better. And she just is so faithful. You know, I love change, and so I'm changing things constantly. And she just comes home and she's just like, oh, you moved the furniture again. Yes, I did. I needed something to do. I need to feel like I was in control. Because how many of you know the best kind of change is the change you can control, right? And there's just times when it just, you know, I'll change things because I need to feel it. And then she'll come home and she'll just be, oh, that's awesome that you did that. And that is not the attitude I wanted. I wanted the attitude of like, why did you do this? I want somebody to dive into my heart and unfold and uncover the misery that's in there. And she's just like, oh, you're so good at that. God bless you. You know, thanks for being so faithful to make change happen. Or we've learned to say this phrase, Jeff, I'm just talking out loud. Don't box me in. Because she'll say something and I'll go get it done. You know, she'll say, you know, oh, it'd be awesome to have, you know, this wall painted or to finally fix that table. You know, it's like, oh, I'm going to go do that right now. I'm going to drop everything and do that. And she's like, actually, I didn't like that color. I just was talking out loud. And I'll be like, I spent all day painting that wall the color that I thought you suggested. And now that we see it up on the wall, it's not the color she wanted. But she's still thankful. And I'm now struggling to figure out, how on earth do you stay thankful? And the beautiful thing is that God over the years has worked in my heart. And he's shown me the value of thanksgiving, the power of thanksgiving. And if you're not familiar with this, I just want to give you a quick definition and difference between thanksgiving and praise, because this is going to go into where we're going to look at in the Word. Thanksgiving, to be thankful, is to identify that which God has done or is doing. So that's why Paul can command us and say in 1 Thessalonians 5, give thanks in everything, because God has already done stuff that we are to call into remembrance. So we can truly be thankful in all things, because thanksgiving is simply about remembering and identifying with what God has already done or is doing. So when we sing those songs about being thankful, what we're really acknowledging is that, God, you have been doing something. You have done something. So this is why we can all be thankful, and why our thanksgiving is so powerful to what then leads us into praise. Because praise is acknowledging God for who he is. And that can be a past, present, or future perspective. So we can praise God for who he was in the past and be thankful for what he's done. We can praise God for who he is right now without anything changing. And then we can be praising God for who he is in the future. So praise is focused on who he is. And out of praise comes worship. Ruth Heflin, if you've ever heard of her name, she's been to the Lewiston Clark Valley. She passed away a number of years ago, but she had a great phrase that I took to heart and have had on my wall for years. It's that you stand in the spirit of thanksgiving until the spirit of praise comes. And then in the spirit of praise, you get ushered into the spirit of worship. And in the spirit of worship, you then get to stand in the glory. And it's progressive. We thank God for what he's doing and done, and it brings us back to a perspective, oh, wait a minute. If you did it then, maybe you want to do it now, and you'll be sure to do it in the future. So now I'm praising. I'm focused on who he is. But all of a sudden, in who he is, there comes this opportunity to worship, give him worth for something greater than we've ever seen or known. And it's in that place of giving him worship and worth that all of a sudden he abides in that place, and we get to see his glory. And we just stand in the glory. And the beautiful thing is that we go from glory to glory. You ever stopped and wondered, how do you move from glory to glory? The glory you're standing in is what you become thankful for, and it then ushers you into praise, it ushers you into worship, and it ushers you into a new glory. So in this place of give thanks in everything, we find that thanksgiving is actually not agreement. We don't have to all be in agreement in order to be thankful. Sometimes it's like we look at things differently, and it's like, how can you be thankful about that? We somehow how we think that if we just come into agreement and be thankful for something, agreement and thanksgiving aren't the same thing. And why is that important? Because understanding that thanksgiving is the beginning step unto oneness, that it's a process, that it begins with, Lord, I'm just going to choose to be thankful. So for example, you understand that there's hurt during this time of year. Tuesday night, I had the opportunity of going up to the Festival of Trees, the Tri-State Memorial, and do the opening ceremony, which is hosted by Merchant Funeral Home. And I was asked to come and just minister to people and open the festivities with just a call to remembrance. A remembrance that during this time of year, as festival as it is, as fun as it is, as celebratory as it is when we gather with family, that there's still great hurt because we've lost loved ones. There's brokenness. And I just, you know, I had 15 minutes and I shared, and I just hung out with people afterwards. And I discovered that brokenness somehow has made itself into our lives as a barrier to being thankful. As if all of a sudden I get the news that I've got a sickness and I can't be thankful for anything. It's actually thankfulness that begins to establish the footwork for hope to be built on. Lord, I'm thankful that even in this time of year when you know, I lost my mom and I lost a brother and I've lost grandparents and you know, those loved ones that I love during this time of year, Lord, I'm thankful for what I have. I'm thankful for what I used to have. And Lord, I'm praising you because I know my mom knew you, and there will be a day when we're gonna be together again, and whatever that looks like. So I don't have to look at my situation and dismiss thanksgiving because somehow thanksgiving and agreement don't seem to work in that situation. It's actually the power of thanksgiving that begins to change the circumstances, which then brings us into the story. And on the notes, I just gave you a reference, and it's the story of David, and he's bringing in the Ark of the Covenant. And if you go and look at 1 Chronicles 15, and then if you look again in 2 Samuel 6, you'll find the story, and it's written about in two different different places, and they're a little different, but it's the same story. And it's when David has longed to bring the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem. And, you know, most of us know this story. He attempted to go after it, and he put it on a cart. He didn't understand the order of God. He didn't understand how God had designed the Ark to be carried. And Uzzah is walking along, and the cart that it's on begins to tilt, and he reaches out to brace the Ark, and God strikes him dead. And so David abandons the trip because he's upset with God and he doesn't understand. But he doesn't give up. He is determined to get what is the evidence of God's presence during that time back into the city of David, into his city, into Jerusalem. See, he could have taken that moment and abandoned thanksgiving, praise, and worship. But instead, he went back and said, Lord, I am thankful that your presence is known to be upon the ark, but I want to understand. And so he calls the priest, and they figure out how they're supposed to carry it and how God structured order. And he goes after it and gets it. And he's bringing it back into Jerusalem. And if you go in and read these accounts, they're taking six steps, and they're sacrificing bulls and goats and animals. And they take another six steps, and they're sacrificing. They're being extravagant in their thanksgiving. They're being extravagant in their praise. They're being extravagant in their worship. They're being extravagant in their understanding of God's glory and how it rests upon the children of Israel, and it abides in the form of the ark. Now, all of us in here need to understand and know that which was in the Old Testament in the ark as a location of God's presence now dwells in you and I as a living ark. So our call to proceed in such a way of thanksgiving, praise, and worship with great sacrifice is symbolized and identified in the story of David. But David has been extravagant to the degree that if you just imagine for a moment that he's gone out in his robes and in his garment and in his kingly attire, and he's part of the sacrificing, without getting grotesque or anything, but just imagine the amount of blood that is being spilt every six steps in this procession of miles into the city. And just imagine that the clothes of the priest and the clothes of David are becoming soaked with blood. So now they're just becoming heavy, because it's not like they're doing this in the cool of the day. They're doing this throughout the day. And all of Israel has come out to be part of the procession, to give thanks unto the Lord, to praise his name, to worship, to marvel in the glory. And so David starts to disrobe, and he gets down to where he's just in what the word says is a linen ephod. And it's basically just this little cloth, just his underwear. And he's dancing, and he's praising, and he's rejoicing because he's fulfilling the desire of his heart. And his wife, Michal, is sitting up in the balcony, and she looks down upon him, and she despises him. She cannot join in the thanksgiving, praise, and worship. And that's because her perspective on the presence of God is very different than David. Her perspective was on David and how, in his undignified manner, and all the other maids and all the other women of Israel are looking upon this man with great stature and reputation, muscles and scars and good looks. She despises him. She did not join in the thanksgiving. And the unfortunate result of her despising and jealousy is that she would end up being barren the rest of her life. See, thanksgiving actually gives birth to hope, to joy, to peace, to praise. It gives birth to the ability to embrace change, embrace circumstances, not so that we come into agreement with those circumstances. Oh, you're sick? Well, I'm just going to be thankful and accept it. No, I'm going to be thankful that God sees my sickness and has an answer for it. I'm going to be thankful that other people that have had similar sicknesses have been healed and delivered. I'm going to be thankful that, Lord, I do not have to remain this way. And even if I do, Lord, I will not give up on being thankful, praise-oriented, and worship-filled. This idea of learning to let go in such a manner so that we can do more undignified things is so beautifully expressed to us in the story of David. And I just want to give you four simple things to consider from the perspective of David in regards to the power of thanksgiving and contending for the presence of God. And the first is simply this: in thanksgiving, we get a heavenly perspective. See, David looked at the ark, and though he was put off by why God struck the man that reached out for it, he didn't give up. He was thankful that, Lord, in the ark is the representation of your presence. It's where you abide. And I am so thankful that we get to have you, and we've retrieved you. But I want you to be in the city. So all of a sudden, that heavenly perspective opened up wisdom. It opened up counsel. It opened up a different scenario than what was already played out. See, some of us are struggling to understand our circumstances, and what we need as an answer is to be thankful. Lord, I'm thankful that right now in the dirt I'm in the darkness I'm in the uncertainty I'm in, that you have a way out. I'm thankful that you've shown others out. Now just show me out. So there's a heavenly perspective. As we embrace 2019 and as we begin to pursue what does it look like to have oneness, I'm asking that each and every one of you join Pastor Mike and our leadership teams to be thankful. And being thankful doesn't mean you just go along with it and you fold your arms and say, okay, what is? Being thankful is raising your hand and going, hey, you know what? I was wondering. Being thankful is I'm at least willing to walk with you to understand what it is you see that I'm failing to see yet. Being thankful is having an attitude that says, Lord, you're doing something far bigger, because Thanksgiving is focused on what he's doing. I'm thankful that you're doing something far bigger than what I can understand in this moment, but I'm going to pray and intercede for my leaders. I'm going to pray and intercede. I'm going to be thankful for them. I'm going to be thankful that, Lord, there is no longer this mentality that is going to be resting on the church that says, Lord, please fill this place with some miraculous, you know, attendance. But that, Lord, you're going to give me the courage and the boldness to go out and evangelize, to share the Lord, to reach the lost, to win the lost, to show them. Because how many of you ended up in this church, ended up in a church, because somebody else, in their thanksgiving, in their perspective of heaven, shared Jesus with you? I'm a pastor today because somebody shared Jesus with me and saw things in me and were thankful for things in me. We're thankful for even the bad attitudes that I had. And we're thankful that that is not the man that you are called to be. And were bold enough to say that to me. They saw heaven's perspective on me in such a manner that they remained engaged and remained thankful, praise oriented, and worship filled. Which then leads us to this next benefit of it builds faith. How many of you know that once you get a perspective of heaven, it's like a freight train. Like there's nothing stopping you. I see what the Lord is doing. I understand what he wants to do. And now here's the difference between Pastor Mike and myself. We both see it, and I am a bullet after it. And he's like, hey, all of you, why don't you join us and go along? And I'll be like, oh yeah. Anybody else want to go? And the beauty of that mix and that gifting is something that I am so thankful for. I am thankful for. Because again, there isn't anything in heaven that I don't want all of us to encounter and experience. I just forget to invite you sometimes. Or I'll come back and go, look what I found. And everybody else is like, where have you been? I was with the Lord. Where were you? And so we have to understand that in the thanksgiving, in the spirit of thanksgiving, once we get that heavenly perspective, faith is ignited. And once faith is ignited, it brings us into this place of breakthrough. See, thanksgiving is the seed to breakthrough, because it's focused on what God has done and is doing. Because once we can create some space through thanksgiving, just try this for a minute. Everybody take a deep breath and let it out. Think about what your body just did. It actually just relaxed. You just took in more oxygen. And all of a sudden, your blood, in just a few moments, if you just take a few deep breaths, it's going to start to be filled with more oxygen, which is going to increase thinking. It's going to increase reflex. It's going to increase focus and clarity. See, when we get stressed and we get tense, all of a sudden, all those things start to go away because oxygen is depleted. We start taking shorter breaths. See, it's the same thing. That's the natural expression. Thanksgiving is like that deep breath. All of a sudden, it just increases the presence of God through heavenly perspective, through faith, and through breakthrough, which then brings us back to a place where now we can be thankful for what he's done and doing and start to focus on who he is. Because it's who he is that it's like the plant breaking through the soil. Oh, that seed is doing something. I know the seed is there. I'm planting it through thanksgiving. But when it breaks through the soil, all of a sudden we can start to praise. Oh, the seed is breaking through. Which then leads us to this last little place. And I'm going to set up a communion and invite Pastor Mike to come up here in a moment. Is that thanksgiving actually brings us into a place of encountering God. And this week you can look up Psalm 100 verse 4. It says, enter his gates with what? Enter his gates with what? And his courts with what? See, the Bible distinguishes between the two. Most of the people that we are encountering that we know that don't have the salvation of the Lord working in them, aren't going to praise the Lord. They're actually needing to be thankful for the evidence of seeing that God is doing something. Once we start to believe that God is real and he's doing something, then we can start to praise him for who he is. Otherwise, who he is doesn't make any difference to my reality. I want to know that he's actually capable of doing something. So enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter the gates of the Lord with the recognition that he does things. He is doing something. He is love. He is joy. He is peace. Let people see that on you and explain it to them. Why are you different? Well, it's because of Jesus. Well, I don't know if I believe in Jesus. Well, if you want to understand what's different about my life, it's in Jesus. Oh. And then as they start to realize that God is real and he's doing something and they're grateful for that, then they can be invited into a place of praise, which is an identification with who he is. And it's in that place of praise that I believe we're going to see more salvations, more salvations, more salvations. But in order to get there, you and I need to be grounded in this understanding of thankfulness. I am so thankful for my salvation. I'm so thankful for the Spirit working in my life. I'm so thankful for the move of the gifts of the Spirit. I'm so thankful for what God is knitting together in relationship and in friendship and in fellowship. I'm so thankful that we can break bread together. I'm so thankful that we can get to know one another. It's in that thanksgiving that love abounds, and all of a sudden it gives birth to this space and this place. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. 1 Chronicles 16:8 says this. This is David after he has set the ark in the city of Jerusalem and he surrounded it with worshipers and priests. See, thanksgiving, when it's really active, actually activates the prophetic. So if you want to grow in the prophetic, start with thanksgiving. Because in this story, David violates every law that had been written according to God and his people. See, the ark was supposed to be constantly surrounded and covered in this Holy of Holies when it was set. And only the priest was able to come before it one time a year. But in David's thanksgiving, he prophetically saw a day when there would be no veil. There would be no separation. And so he set it up in such a way that we're going to surround it with worshipers. We're going to surround it with men in this time, men in such a manner that they're going to worship unto the Lord. And in his thanksgiving, he writes this psalm. He writes these words, and it says this. He says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, talk of all his wondrous works." Thanksgiving is all about the wondrous works of God. And if you're struggling to identify and experience and encounter those wonderful works, get around people that are. Because I guarantee you, their thanksgiving and the manifestation of God's wondrous works in their life will show you that it actually is the love of God that causes all those things to happen. Not my works, not my efforts, not my goodness, not my lack of sin. Because sometimes I get stuck in this, Lord, oh, if I just don't sin and I'm just grateful and thankful, I'll see more of you. And the reality is no, if I'm just thankful that, Lord, you love me and the work of you loving me is enough and sufficient, all of a sudden love begins to abound. Breakthroughs begin to abound. Praises begin to abound. But there's a whole lot more to this, but the verses 8 to 10 I just wanted to share with you. It says, "Glory in his name. Let the hearts of those who rejoice who seek the Lord. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord." Seek the Lord in thanksgiving. Seek him in such a manner that Lord, the darkness I'm in, the uncertainty I'm in, the hope deferred I'm in, the questioning I'm in, the inquiries that I have, I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to be thankful in all things. I'm going to be thankful in such a manner that, Lord, it's going to birth and start a process of building hope, of shedding light, of changing my perspective and bringing heaven's perspective, about bringing breakthrough in such a manner that maybe for you, your breakthrough is you just get up in the morning and you feel like you can take a step. For others of you, your breakthrough is all of a sudden going to be that new job, the reconciliation between parents and children. I don't know, but I'm excited to hear how God is responding to our thankfulness in this season. Would you welcome Pastor Mike? We're going to take communion this morning.
We bless Pastor Jeff. Say thanks. This is the first time in a long time I have been able to sit with my family and hold my grandson during a message. It's awesome. As I was holding Simon, as I was listening to Pastor Jeff speak, I thought, guys, this is why we're doing this. We are creating a legacy for another generation of people who will follow Christ. He might be a preacher. that we are not, this is our motivation. We have a generation of young, they could be a generation that are 67 years old. It's not an age. It's a generation of people who need to know Jesus Christ. And it's being thankful. It is being thankful for what God is doing. And hey, Dwayne, could you grab, and Roy, could you help real quick move the communion to, Jeff's got it. We're going to take communion family style, which means we're going to pray and bless the communion. And then we're going to just have you come up and receive the communion and be thankful for the Lord. As Jeff was talking about Thanksgiving, and I remember so distinctly, there are times when God's word becomes, it almost is becoming, becomes difficult. And it became difficult for me when my nephew, who is at 2, I get a phone call from my mom. Some of you know the story. My mom, and it's my brother's son, Cody, and I get a call from my mom, and I go, Mom, what's going on? Because she's hysterical. And she says, Cody has been diagnosed with a brain tumor. He's going to die in 6 months. And you know that overwhelming feeling? And I was on staff at a church in Northern California at the time, and this verse that Pastor Jeff just taught on, give thanks in everything for this is the will of God, came rushing into my mind, and I said, you got to be kidding me. You want me to give thanks that my nephew's got a brain tumor and he's going to die in 6 months? Are you kidding me? And the Lord says, it's not for, it's in. We're not thankful for things, we're thankful in things. So I walked, it was very similar to this layout. I walked back and forth. I said, okay, God, you want thanks? I'll give you some thanks. Attitude wasn't the greatest. I said, God, I thank you. And then all of a sudden I realized, God, I thank you that you're bigger than cancer. God, I thank you that you're bigger than what a doctor's report is. And what happened was, in my mind, all I saw was my nephew is going to die of a brain tumor. That's all I saw. But then as I gave thanks, God became bigger than the brain tumor. God became larger than whatever situation you're facing. So God isn't like emotionally, oh, I'm so grateful for this. Thank you, God, that I've got. No, it's not. No, that's what Pastor Jeff was talking about. We're not thankful for, we're thankful in, because God is greater still. So as we receive communion today, we can be thankful in the fact that Jesus Christ loves us. We can be thankful in the fact that he's forgiven us of our sins. And this morning, I'm going to ask, if you have not come to that place of relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to invite you to that. I want to invite you to where you can say, thank you, God. What we were talking about, it's just a glorious day when he saved me, that this day could be your day in which Jesus Christ washes away all of our sin. So how do I do that? It's an invitation prayer. And would you just close your eyes and bow your heads with me? And would you just pray this with me? Say, dear Jesus, thank you that you love me so much that you went to a cross and died for my sins. Thank you that you rose from the dead. And today, if I call on the name of the Lord, I will be saved. So I confess my sin, and I accept your forgiveness today in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says that we are to confess Christ in front of men, and one of the ways we can confess Christ is the communion. That when we receive communion, we're telling everybody in this room, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And this morning, as we receive the communion, here's the promise: by his wounds we are healed. That his wounding was not just the precursor to the cross. It was a price that was paid so that we can be emotionally, mentally, and physically healed. And as we take that cracker, it's not just a cracker. What it is, it's a point of faith saying, I believe and I'm thankful for healing. And so Ryan, our wonderful sound guys up there, they're going to turn on some really soft music, and we're going to receive the communion, and I'm just going to bless it. When you're ready to go, just rise up. You can gather in pockets, you can gather with your family, you can gather with friends, and let's just receive communion. You just come grab the elements, come and take it with thankfulness. And as I stand, we'll pray. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.